Blog Talk Radio.
It's TLD.
Yeah.
4-time tag team champion. I'm curvy. I'm cute. I'm a champion.
Folks, it's phenomenal what I do. You get to lay on TLD.
Buy everything, damn it. I'm TLD. Brand new deals that we have at TLDWrestling.com. I love this stuff.
TLD merchandise only available at where? That's right, TLDWrestling.com.
Because I'm a 2001 Golden Gloves Heavyweight Champion.
That's the TLD Bear is still around.
TLD Pin!
I look phenomenal tonight.
You want to go to the gym and work out and get
everybody, welcome to WrestleMania 30 post-review show. I want to go ahead and bring in TLD. Hey, TLD, you there? What's going on, man?
Oh, man, what a night of wrestling tonight. WrestleMania, truly one that will be remembered forever. Just an amazing moment, and we got so much to talk about. We got 2 hours to do it. I don't think any fan cannot be, thrilled, happy, or not emotionally invested in tonight's show. It was just truly a great show.
Yeah, well, before we talk about the show itself, let's talk about the network. I watched it on the network, and I didn't have any issues. I watched the network on my computer. I know I've talked to a lot of people this past week, and a lot of my friends do not want to watch it on a computer because, you know, I guess they want to have an epic feeling watching it on their TV. But from what I'm hearing, a lot of people that watch it on their 360 and PS4 have more issues and stuff. I don't have an issue watching on my computer, but I watched it today. I had no issues with it, no freezing, no stream issues, no audio issues. Same for Hall of Fame last night. What about you, TLD? Was there any discrepancies or errors on your end?
Yeah, that was one of my biggest things going into this show. Was the network going to hold up? And to my surprise, it did everything great. There were some minor audio issues during the recap show, during the pre-show, my bad. And just a minor hair or two of just stalling for like a second or two. Other than that, you know, nothing. So I couldn't be happier that they were able to prepare this problem. You know, that's why they went live with NXT first, to make sure all these kinks were ironed out, and they were. So bravo to them.
Yeah, I feel a lot more confident now, and I can definitely see more people joining the network very soon. So with that said, how was your day? What did you do? Did you watch it with friends? Did you have a party? I know you were saying you were with your girlfriend earlier, fiance. What was your deal? What did you do?
Yeah, I don't have a girlfriend, man. I got a fiance. Be careful. She's right here next to me. So, yeah.
Oh, cool.
I went to a friend's house to watch the show. I think watching WrestleMania with a bunch of friends, it is a Super Bowl-type atmosphere, and it was just a tremendous show to be around. And, yes, I was with friends, and I decided that, you know, just to be home on time, and because we all got work tomorrow, let you take care of the hosting duties for this evening. But, yeah, always got to celebrate with fans. It's kind of weird to watch WrestleMania by yourself almost.
Yeah. So how do you want to do this? Do you just want to talk about the show itself or the matches or, like, I mean, it's your call.
I mean, we go down the line from beginning to end, and hopefully people who want to call in, 760-888-5749, give us a call in. We want to hear your thoughts. We just go from beginning to end, starting with the pre-show, so let's go with that.
Well, actually, we have a caller, 337. Let me see who this is. Hey, 337, welcome to PWP Radio. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
Oh, yeah, man. My name is Pimpin' Red, man. I'm calling right here from Louisiana, man. Oh, my God, man. This is, you know what, Vince has done it again, bro. He again dropped the ball on the rest of the world again, huh? Let me understand this, Pimpin'. How you let that take a
move? Wait, what's your name? We'll get to that later. What's your name?
Huh? My name is Pimpin' Red.
Okay, were you at WrestleMania?
No, I watched it on the network. You know what I'm saying? Oh. I was trying to get tickets, man, but they sold out. They've been sold out down here.
Okay. Well, what we normally do on the radio is we just go through each match for match. We'll get to the Taker stuff later on. Right now, we're just going to start the pre-show. The pre-show was made a – I have a bad habit of correcting people. There's a gimmick called a Fatal 4-Way, which all the listeners know, where you have four people, four teams, and Fatal 4-Way because the first person that makes a pin or submission, they win. But then they made it in eliminations. So they named it the Fatal 4-Way Elimination, and I hate it when they use that because Fatal 4-Way means one fall to a finish. So Fatal 4-Way Elimination is contradictory. So really, it's a four corners match, which is old school. That's not the point. The point is, though, it was the Usos, Real Americans, the Los Matadores, and Ryback. They competed in a four-way elimination match. It was good. It was a good match. The Usos, they went over. The Real Americans and the Usos got the majority of the offense in, which most of us expected. And after the Usos won, Zack Swagger tried to put the ankle lock on Cesaro. Some culture broke them up and tried to get Swagger and Cesaro to shake hands. And, you know, when that happened, Cesaro shook his hand, he feigned it, and then he gave Swagger the big swing, and the fans loved it. And so basically it looks...
That's the end of the Real American, pretty much.
Yeah, that's pretty much the end of the Real American. So it solidified everything. Usos, they continue to be tag team champions. Cesaro, he goes his own separate ways. And overall, I thought it was pretty good. Yeah, it was a good way to get the crowd excited. TLD, what did you think about this match?
This match was a great way to start the show. You know, a lot of people were a little upset the tag titles were on the pre-show. But to me, you know, people were watching that network. People were tuning into that show. And I really did enjoy everything about that. And I'm glad the Usos won. They were the right people to go over, especially what would happen later on. You know, so obviously the Real Americans have been teased up. But that has been teased up for a while. And Jack Swagger just broke his cool, and it was just an amazing moment to see the Usos win. I think they were the right team to go over. They just got the titles, and people liked them anyway. So, you know, I think the match was great. Just the high flying, the action was great. You know, the crowd was into it.
Yeah, I agree. All right, now, 337, what did you think about the tag team match in the pre-show?
I thought it was pretty good. I'm a big fan of Usos. I like it bad by Kishi. I thought it was pretty good though. You know, for you know, the tag team division been kind of weak lately. They got some young blood in the game. Bring the tag team division back. But I think it was pretty good though. I thought it should have been on the main card and should have let the Divas match been on a pre-show. But you know, hey, you know, yeah, pretty much, yeah.
Yeah. More or less, I agree. I think the Divas match was mostly on the pay-per-view itself because the Divas title has never been defended before. But we'll get to that later. So that was the end of the pre-show. And if you had the network, they were hyping it up. They had different people coming in talking. They had Booker T, Trish, HBK. It was a nice roster of people. Anyway, so the actual show itself starts off of Hulk Hogan, and then, you know, Hogan comes out. He boxed a little bit. He kept calling it the Silver Dome. That was pretty funny. Hogan still thinks it's WrestleMania 3. Then Stone Cold came out, big pop. You know, got the visual of seeing Stone Cold and Hogan in the ring. And then, you know, they started talking for a bit, and then The Rock came out. And so it was really cool visual, and it was really just one of those segments that was just for the visual. You had The Rock, Stone Cold, and Steve Austin all in the same ring at the same time, which really has not happened since 2002, way back when they brought in the NWO back in WWE. So it was really cool visual. And you know, basically they were just talking stuff about WrestleMania 30. It's going to be a great show. It was a feel-good moment. They all, you know, took some beer, you know, did the whole beer party thing. And that was pretty much it. It was just a good way to start the show. So, TLD, do you have any thoughts on the opening segment? Do you think it was pretty good?
Dude, pretty good? I think it was the highlight of my night. Just to see Hulk Hogan, The Rock, and Stone Cold put in a great role in the beginning of the show, hyping it up, making it look so important. Not only that, but putting the talent over was another good thing, too. I mean, they put over a lot of the young talent, got the catchphrases. The Silverdome thing was just hilarious. Just the fact that Hulk Hogan just, you know, botching that big time. That's what you got to love about live television. They got to love the live television. And just the crowd was eating it up, just seeing those three guys in the ring. We'll probably never see that again either. So just to have that feel-good moment, having a beer, you know, telling them to enjoy the talent that's in this business, and just you could not ask for a better opening. You couldn't ask for a better moment. That will, you know, that's a moment that will always last. I mean, I went to WrestleMania 29, and just seeing that moment would have been worth my price of admission.
Yeah, it was definitely a pretty cool moment. I think it was a lot better than WrestleMania 27, where The Rock just came out and it was just kind of killing time. That didn't really go anywhere. So, anyways, 337, what did you think about the opening segment? Did you think it was a cool visual? Did you enjoy it?
Yeah, I pretty much was cool with enjoying some of the legends, because we haven't seen Stone Cold in, you know, at a WrestleMania in a little while. You know, you seen Rock last year, he got injured. But yeah, I thought it was pretty cool to see some of, you know, the Hall of Famers, you know, some of the mortals, some who laid bricks for the foundation for the company, come out and do a skit. But I had one problem. I know it was a joke, it was a skit, but hey, come on, don't disrespect Who That Nation. Come on now. Come on, Hoagie. Come on now. You can't do it now. You're in Saints country, baby. Yeah, black and gold.
Yeah, yeah. I don't think Hogan keeps up with stuff like that. That's why he was still calling it the Silverdome. All right, this brings us into the opening match, which I was very surprised. Daniel Bryan versus Triple H in the very first match. I didn't think that Triple H would basically curtain jerk himself. So seeing him do that was very surprising. Daniel Bryan versus Triple H. I got my timer at 25 minutes 56 seconds. So it went a very long time. There was a cool intro where Stephanie was in the ring and Triple H came out looking like he was Shao Kahn off Mortal Kombat. Daniel Bryan came out and they pretty much worked the type of style match you thought they would work. Triple H was working on the arm for a good portion of the match, the leg. Daniel Bryan getting in offense. Stephanie, they're letting Stephanie kind of act like her billion-dollar princess gimmick, the gimmick she had, like, during the McMahon-Helmsley era, like, back in, you know, the heydays of the Attitude Era. I think Stephanie and Triple H were the most enjoyable back then. Overall, though, it was a pretty good match, and in the end, Daniel Bryan, he beats him with the knee, very clean finish, which we all predicted, and then once it was over, Triple H, he hit Daniel Bryan with a steel chair across the ring post. And so, you know, they told the story of, you know, will Bryan be able to recover and overcome the odds later in the show. But it was a good opening match, and it definitely started off the crowd. It started off the show to a good start, and I have no complaints about it whatsoever. All right, TOD, what did you think about the opening match?
Opening match was a great way to start the show. This was, you know, it takes me back to when I watched WrestleMania 10, where it was Brett versus Owen, and you knew that, you know, at least Brett was moving on to the end of the show, and this was kind of that same feeling again with Daniel Bryan. I've been saying that the last couple weeks, but what a great way to open up the show with a hot crowd. The yes signs were all over the place. Daniel Bryan doing a great job with the shoulder injury, which, definitely looked like he was going through a lot of pain. The fans were 100% into Daniel Bryan. Triple H coming out first in the ring gear was pretty cool. That's always cool when he does those kind of things. And the fact that he's opening match and putting Daniel Bryan into that spotlight and giving him a moment that he defeats him cleanly, 1-2-3, with the knee to the face, just it was overall a good match, you know, kicked out of the pedigree. You know, it's great storytelling, and that's what makes you want to be a fan, not only of Daniel Bryan, but just in wrestling in general, of what good storytelling does. And this was a match that has been brewing since SummerSlam, and it finally culminated to this match, and Daniel Bryan wins, and of course Stephanie gets in the ring slapping the hell out of Daniel Bryan. I just love Daniel's expression, just laughing because he beat his husband and he's just like enjoying it. But then of course the sneak attack in the back by Triple H, and then using the chair, just again, you know, classic heel versus face. It's very simple. It's so easy to do when it's done right.
Yeah, I agree. All right, 337, what did you feel about the opening match?
Well, I just, you know, be honest with you, it was a long time coming. You know, The Yes Movement is still here and alive in effect. I think now Dave is now an A-plus player. Yes, yes, yes.
Yeah, pretty much short to the point. Not really much else we can add.
Yeah, what you can say after that? It was just Dave Bryan's moment. It's his night tonight. He just stole the show. He started, you could feel it. When he opened the match, you could feel it. When he did that, you already know what was going to happen in the main event. It was over. It was done. Finito, he went in the belt. It was a wrap.
All right, this takes us to our second match. Holy shit, was this match short. The Shield versus Culprit Kane and the New Age Outlaws. I got my timer watch 2 minutes and 57 seconds. Automatically, I knew something was up. But you could just tell, like, this was weird because as soon as the bell rung, Reigns was using, like, all of his trademark moves that he normally uses, like, towards the tail end of the match, like the Superman punch, the drop kick on the apron, you know, the little Samoan pose he does. Rollins and Ambrose didn't really do anything. I mean, they both did a Mysterio suicide dive to the Outlaws, but it was very, very short. I was disappointed. I'm a big fan of the Shield. I was hoping to see them do more. This kind of reminded me of that annoying, stupid eight-man tag at WrestleMania 27 where it was the Core against, like, Kofi and a bunch of other guys, and it was, like, a minute. It was just, I don't know what was going on here. The Shield were wearing these cool masks that kind of look reminiscent of what the Aces and Eights wore in TNA, but match was very short, and, the Shield won. It was so short, like, if you literally, like, left the room, took a piss, you missed the match. Like, that's how short it was. But, the Shield won, and it was just there to kill time, I guess. TLD, what did you think about this match?
I would say it's not more like taking a piss. I would say it's more like taking a shit than going to the fridge, picking up a beer, and then going to get your hot dog, and then you're going back to your seat. Then you missed it. But it wasn't that short, but it made him look real dominant. I did like the mask idea. I think they had to push it along. I think Daniel Bryan and, you know, Triple H went a little too long. The fans were a little out of it, so I don't know if they would have been into a long match. So I think they just made him look really dominant. My favorite part, though, was the, I guess I have to say it like this, the triple, double powerbomb. I guess you have to go to the Outlaws, and they dominated. It was just a dominating faction. And, you know, we knew that there was some piece of a breakup possible between those three. I think they had, again, a couple weeks ago, they had to make a little turn for it. And they decided to put it together in this match. But I did like the new mask idea. I think it's pretty cool. It's very it is Aces and Eights like, but they never capitalized on the money making of that. And now WWE will. So, but I think it's what they did. They showed the dominance, and they're going to go forward.
All righty. 337. Did you have an opinion?
You had to like that double triple powerbomb. That was pretty cool.
Yeah, it was cool. It was cool. I agree. 337, what did you feel about this match? Did you have any predictions? Were you surprised about
this? This is the part when I went to sleep and woke up, and it was done. It was over. I just took a brief nap. This is the part when I feel like 30, just, you know, you can just go, you know, like halftime, you don't want to see the band play, you just go get some nachos.
You don't get some nachos.
Yeah, that's pretty much what I went and did. I went to the kitchen, you know, fell asleep, woke up, went got a taco, you know, some drink, pretty much. You already know. They're not about to let the Attitude Era win. As you've seen it, everybody who was in the Attitude Era lost tonight. Yeah, I didn't really care for the match. I just thought it was just a waste of WrestleMania, to tell you the truth. Pretty much.
All right, so this takes us to our next match, the Andre the Giant Battle Royale. All right, now let me pull out my notes here. I always take notes during Battle Royales. All right, so basically, this was advertised as a 30-man Battle Royale, and three of the slots were blank. And this is basically who ended up being in the Battle Royale. Alberto Del Rio, Big E, Brad Maddox, Brodus Clay, Cody Rhodes, Damian Sandow, Darren Young, Dolph Ziggler, Fandango, Drew McIntyre, Goldust, The Great Khali, Heath Slater, Jinder Mahal, Justin Gabriel, Kofi Kingston, Mark Henry, The Miz, Rey Mysterio, Sheamus, R-Truth, Santino Marella, Sin Cara, Titus O'Neil, Tyson Kidd, Xavier Woods, and Zack Ryder. I believe David Otunga may have been in there. I'm not sure. But this match was actually, it was cool. It was cool. There were a few spots that were very interesting. The spot that I liked the most, it was just, they're really like getting Kofi over in these battle royals, was when Cesaro, or was it Henry? Someone threw Kofi over the top rope. Not over the top rope, but like over the ring post. And like Kofi, his bottom hit the floor, but his feet hit the steel thing. It was crazy. I can only imagine how much practice it took Kofi to do that. And you got to have good flexibility to be able to twist your legs like that without breaking it. It was a really dangerous spot, and Kofi just made it look so easy. That really caught me off guard. I didn't think they were going to give Kofi, like, a special spot during the match and anything. I was listening to a bunch of interviews leading up to it, and John Pollock from the Law Radio, he interviewed Christian, who was supposed to be in the match. And Christian was explaining that a lot of fans don't understand that the policies towards concussions have changed. And I think a lot of fans don't understand that. You see, it's not that guys like Rey Mysterio, Mark Henry, and Christian are injury prone. It's that ever since the Benoit tragedy, WWE has been very, very secret about, like, concussions. You know, like, whenever anyone has any type of concussion, they automatically pulled him. Christian was explaining that during the Attitude Era, during the early 2000s, there were many top guys like The Rock and Stone Cold and Taker. There were many guys that went in working with concussions, and back then, you know, they didn't do anything about it. But now, since the Benoit tragedy, they don't want to take any chances. So now, if you have a concussion, whether it's severe, slight, or medium, they pull you. And this goes for everybody. They did this to Fandango. They did it to Dolph Ziggler. They did it to Miz. They did it to Wade Barrett. And, of course, they did it to Christian. So that's why he wasn't there, and that's why many people are taken out of the roster. It's not that they're injury-prone. It's just that WWE does not want to take any chances. And I think a lot of fans, they don't understand that. With that said, Cesaro took Christian's spot. And he ended up winning this battle royal, and it was actually for the best. The fans were into him. And I'm noticing, I don't know about you guys, but I'm noticing a pattern for these post-Mania Raw things. It seems like every year around this time, the fans, they get behind something. You can kind of trace this back as far back as 2009. 2009, Ricky Steamboat, you know, he had that great performance at WrestleMania 25. It showed that he could still go. 2010, Randy Orton turned babyface. The fans were into him. 2011, they announced The Rock versus John Cena. Fans were into that. 2012, the birth of the Yes Chant. Daniel Bryan got over the 18-second squash thing with Sheamus backfired. 2013, Fandango with the Fandangoing. And this year, Cesaro. It seems like every year the fans just get behind that one guy. It's like a curse, but in a good way. But Cesaro won, and not only did he win, he eliminated Big Show last. He slammed him, which was a big moment. The fans popped hard, and he got rid of the Big Show. Not only did he eliminate him, but after it was over, Cesaro and Big Show shook hands, which basically, and as far as I could see, established him as a babyface. And, yeah, so he won. A good move. I truly believe that was not part of the plan. That was something WWE probably decided to do at the heated moment, and they made the right decision. So congrats to Cesaro. TOD, what do you think about this match?
They put a lot of hype around this match, making it a big deal. The trophy looked really awesome. I thought it was really cool to see. They're obviously starting a new tradition every year. And, man, Big Show and Sheamus were the only two announced to come down the aisle. And the crowd was eating it up, especially when we were getting down to the end of it. Very surprised Cesaro was, you know, so over in that crowd. I don't know if he was planning to be in it or not, but I think they would have planned all that beforehand. I don't think they would have just, you know, done it. So Cesaro winning that was really, really cool. But the moment for me of that, you know, besides Kofi Kingston and that spot, was Cesaro picking up the Big Show and being able to slam him over the top rope. That visual was amazing. And a lot of people thought the Big Show would win that only because he's the Big Show. And he wore, which was kind of ironic, he was wearing ring gear like Andre the Giant. He wore the one strap. He wore the blue boots. He kind of went old school with that, which I thought was a nice little tribute to him. But Cesaro winning it and then Big Show giving him the, you know, shake of the hand for picking up and throwing him over, that to me also showed that Big Show gave him the props for doing that. And it was just a cool moment. And Cesaro just looked great, and the fans just ate it up. It was a terrific way to get a new star over.
I agree. The reason why I think it was last minute is because John Pollock of the Law, he uploads videos off of YouTube, and the interview with Christian, it was uploaded at precisely 5:45 p.m. So that was during the pre-show. So he was at the Access, and they asked Christian point blank if he was going to be in the match, and he said that he was not contractually obliged to answer the question because he himself didn't know. I truly believe it was a last-minute decision. Before I bring in these other callers, again, I pride myself in Battle Royale statistics. Here are the eliminations in order. Yoshitatsu first, Brad Maddox second, Brodus Clay third, The Great Khali fourth, Zack Ryder next, Darren Young, 3MB, was eliminated by Mark Henry. Mark Henry was eliminated next, Titus O'Neil, The Miz, Santino, Damon Sandow, Justin Gabriel, David Otunga, Big E, Fandango, R-Truth, Tyson Kidd, Goldust, Cody Rhodes, Rey Mysterio, Kofi, Ziggler, Del Rio, Sheamus, and Big Show. So the final four, Del Rio, Sheamus, Cesaro, and Big Show. I always like to always put an asterisk on the final four for any battle royale because for whatever reason, in most battle royals, those final four tend to are usually like guys that WWE has faith in and usually get a push down the road. All right, so that's enough of me. I'm going to bring in 860. I believe this is Nate from Inside Wrestling. Hey, Nate, how you doing?
What's up, man? What's going on?
We're just going through the card. Let's get your thoughts on some of the matches we've gone over already. First, what did you think about the opening tag team match?
I thought it was pretty good. Not bad. Shield win. I thought it was pretty good. And the Battle Royal was great, man. Cesaro throwing the Big Show out. My God, this guy just freaking nature with his strength. I was hoping he'd do the big swing on him, but whatever. I mean, still great Cesaro for winning the Battle Royal.
What about the tag team titles with the Usos?
I didn't get to see that match because my buddy ordered it on pay-per-view. He doesn't have the network, so we didn't get to see it. I don't even know who won that match, so.
The Usos, they won.
Oh, okay.
And, yeah.
Okay.
And did you see Daniel Bryan's Triple H opener?
Daniel Bryan what?
Did you see the opener between Daniel Bryan and Triple H?
Yeah. That was a very good match. I thought both of them worked pretty good, Triple H and Bryan back and forth. Stephanie really didn't get involved. It was a clean match, so I thought, you know, no controversy. So I thought that was very good. And then Triple H attacking Bryan at the end, I thought that was good, just to cast a little doubt for the main event later on in the show.
Okay. All right. Cool. All right, 337, what did you think about the Battle Royale? Were you surprised by Cesaro? Do you think it was the right decision?
I was kind of rolling with Big Show, but, you know, things, you know, they changes at the drop of a dime. I really didn't care about the match, but I really didn't care about the Battle Royale. I just thought it was just something to fill in the plug until you get to the good matches, you know what I mean? Really wasn't too big on it, but, you know, it was a good idea to honor Andre the Giant. You know, it was good, you know, once again, you know, Hall of Fame, you know, a pillar to the business, you know. I didn't really care for it. I really didn't. I didn't really see any major players in there besides Big Show, Sheamus. You know, yeah. The rest of them were just, you know, kind of, you know, B-plus average wrestlers. You know what I mean? Yeah.
Yeah, I understand. A lot of people going into the show have all told me that they really couldn't invest in it. But I think it's hard to invest in anything that's never been done before. I think it worked out very good for Cesaro, and I think, you know, maybe I'm wrong here, but I think this pretty much really got Cesaro over as a new top babyface. So hopefully this is the start of a push, and if Cesaro has a good run, hopefully this can start a trend into future manias to start, you know, maybe these battle royals can help get other new guys over. Hopefully that's the way that it works. All right, this brings us to our next match, John Cena versus Bray Wyatt. I got my timer at 23 minutes. This actually went a good amount of time, longer than I thought. Cena, he went over, no surprise there. The reason I wasn't surprised about Cena going over, typically in professional wrestling at WrestleMania, historically speaking, when you have an upper mid-card guy fight a main event guy for the first time at a WrestleMania, the main event guy wins. Give you some examples. Warrior squashing Triple H at WrestleMania 12. Bret Hart beating Steve Austin at WrestleMania 13. Edge defeating Del Rio at WrestleMania 27. So on and so forth. Most of the time when you have an upper mid-card guy going up against the main event guy wins. However, just because the main event guy wins does not mean the upper mid-card guy got buried. Bret Austin being the most obvious example. Even though Austin lost, he got over. Cena won here, but I think Bray looked good. It was a good match. The story they were telling was clearly different. Bray really wasn't trying to win. He was kind of trying to get Cena to give in to the dark side. It kind of had a Joker Dark Knight thing kind of going on. Not sure about everybody else, but his entrance was cool and stuff like that. And yeah, overall, it was a good match. I don't really have any complaints about it. I'm sure this will not hurt Bray Wyatt's momentum at all. TOD, what did you think about this match?
You know, it was a lot slower paced match, but I did like the entrance. That was definitely pretty cool, I have to say. I was very impressed with that, on being able to do the entrance the way they did with the dancer, with the swords. That was really neat, something different. You know, I definitely think that it was an interesting type of match where John Cena was starting to break his cool, starting to do some choking, starting to do some really cool, interesting things. And the crowd was eating it up. You know, they weren't that anti-John Cena this time. You know, they actually were kind of good. I was actually quite surprised how they were kind of, you know, not really hating on him as much as I would expect. You know, but yeah, in true fashion at WrestleMania, the face gets the moment. And that's why I think the right decision was John Cena. John Cena deserved that win. He's taking a back seat this year to the main event and scene, and he deserves you know, that victory. And Bray Wyatt, that was his first loss, and John Cena beat two other guys outside the ring too. It was just overall, it was just really cool. I think it was a really cool. And then the crowd was starting to actually sing. He's got the whole world in his hand, which was a little creepy too, which was kind of added a little dynamic to it. But I think great match. Not really any complaints about it. I didn't think it was bad. I thought when Cena was going for the five-knuckle shuffle and then Bray Wyatt kind of lifted his hands up and started, like, you know, being off his feet, that was just very odd. But, you know, it's Bray Wyatt, so it kind of fits him. But great, great match. I thought it was well done.
Nate, what did you think about the Cena-Bray Wyatt match?
That was a good match, back and forth with Cena and Bray. Cena trying to show a little bit almost like a heel kind of character, and the announcers, you know, playing it up too, especially when he had the chair and all that. I didn't like the finish, of course, because I didn't want Cena to win. I wanted Bray to get the win. I didn't care if it was interference or whatever, but no, it was a very good match. Cena puts on very good matches. He works pretty good in the ring, whoever he faces or whoever he's against. But, you know, like I said, I just wanted Bray to get the win. But, you know, Bray will bounce back, and hopefully, you know, he doesn't get the Sandow burial treatment, you know, after what happened to Sandow. But, no, overall, it was a decent match. I liked it.
All righty. All right, 337, what did you think about the Cena-Bray Wyatt match?
I thought it was pretty cool. You know, it would have been nice to see John Cena go to the Thugonomics. John Cena, where he came out with a chain and his jersey with a throwback Saint jersey. That'd have been real cool. You know what I'm saying? That showing that he gone back to, you know, as just going back, you know, is bringing the whole into the new for 30 years. That'd have been real cool to see him go back to how he first came in. But, you know, it didn't happen. But I liked it. You know, I liked that, you know, his entrance with the swords and band. It was pretty cool. It was nice. I give it a thumbs up. It was like an AOP match. You know, like you said, can't really say nothing bad about it. It was pretty good.
All righty. And regrettably, this is where things go downhill.
At least
for me. Match number 6.
You know wrestling's predetermined, right?
Lesnar versus The Undertaker. I don't even know where to start Okay. All right. All right. Okay. Let's you know what? Forget this match. Let's rewind earlier today. Okay. Earlier today, you know, fans, you can always go to Facebook and you can always go to Twitter, but you know, another great social site for you to get information from is Instagram. And I've been checking out Jeff Jarrett's Instagram lately because he's been talking about the big announcement that he's going to make tomorrow. And as I was looking at Jeff Jarrett's Instagram, I noticed that he was friends with Sting on Instagram. And I was like, oh, okay, let me click on his profile. And Sting did an interview today at WrestleCon where he was talking to fans, and a fan asked him what his favorite number was, and Sting said 31. And, of course, all the fans marked out, and there was a holy shit chant. So I was like, wow, Sting just said 31? Obviously, it's a reference to WrestleMania 31. Sting was also cited at WrestleMania Access talking to fans. So you can imagine the excitement that I had. You know, I'm thinking, okay, Sting, he's either showing up tonight or he's showing up tomorrow. Okay, so forget Sting. Flash forward to the match itself. This match was not good at all. It was bad, actually. The match wasn't good. It wasn't good. It was very slow. The matches with HBK were clearly faster. The matches with Triple H were more aggressive. And the match with CM Punk was a mixture of both. This match was, okay, let me describe to you what this match was, okay? It was Lesnar basically beating up Taker, right? And then Taker occasionally landing a punch, a kick, or like one of his trademark moves. The pacing was slow. And, you know, fans were really into that Cena-Wyatt match. And so Taker was, which is the ironic thing is Taker was a victim of something that he normally does himself. Normally Taker kills the crowd with his matches, and then the people that follow Taker, they have to perform in front of a dead crowd. But for this, it was the other way around. That Cena-Wyatt match killed the crowd, and they couldn't go back and watch this match. The fans were not into it at all. They weren't chanting boring or anything. It was quiet. I'm talking like Brock Lesnar, Triple H quiet. You know, I'm starting to see Lesnar getting really boring matches. Forget it. This match was boring, okay? Lesnar, he hit his F5. It was half-assed because you could tell he wasn't trying to hurt Taker. Taker kicked out of it. This match wasn't good. The build was bad. The match was bad. And the outcome was bad. When Lesnar beat Taker, it was just a casual F5 that didn't look any more threatening than he beats Taker, right? And so then everyone in the crowd is like shocked. Like, I'm like, what? Like, is this? I'm thinking I'm on MTV Punk here. Like, okay, they're going to do something like the rest of the fast count. Taker's shoulder was up. What? This match was not. How are you going to have 21 plus years? And listen, Taker's getting old. I get that. Okay? I get that. Okay? Taker, if he feels like he has to lose, I respect that, okay? What I understand is, why give it to Lesnar? He's part-time. The last time you gave this guy something, he left. He left. Why would you give it to him again? If Taker's going to lose, then why not lose to Roman Reigns? Fuck. Lose to Hornswoggle. At least he's going to stay. What the fuck is Lesnar going to do? What? This match sucked. This match pissed me off, dude. It fucking pissed me off. If I paid money for this... No, I did pay money because I had the network. What the fuck was this match? It was horrible. This is how you end the streak? 21 plus... You end it like that? With this horrible build and this horrible match? This is how you end it? You know what this is what? You know what this was? This is like the equivalent of having an A GPA, right? So you have a perfect GPA, right? A perfect GPA. You pass all your tests, you pass the SAT, you pass everything, and then when you finally graduate, you say, you know what? I quit. That's what this was. What the fuck was this? I'd rather Cena end the streak than... Jesus Christ, this match totally killed Mania for me. When it was over, I couldn't even pay attention to the match. I didn't even care about... Well, no one cares about Divas anyway. I didn't even care about Mania after that. This match totally killed it for me. On a positive note, to bring it back to full circle, being positive. Seriously, though, like, seriously. This isn't me being funny. Like, totally serious. If you're going to end the streak, though, you should have had that end the show. Close the show. That really took the crowd out of it. It did. they didn't give a fuck about that Divas match, and they didn't really get into the main event match, I want to say, till about 10 minutes into it, like when Triple H and Steph came out there and, you know, they screwed over Bryan. That was really when fans got back into it. If you're going to end Taker's streak 20-plus years, that deserves the main event. What the fuck was that? You know, I'm not mad at Taker losing. I'm mad at – why would you give it to Lesnar? He's not going to be there. He's not. He's left before, and he's shown that. God, that match was horrible. I'm pissed. How can you lose to – oh, my God. Fuck this match. TLD, talk about it. I'm done.
Yeah, ladies and gentlemen, that was our first rant of the evening. Wrestling is predetermined. I just want to make sure everyone's very clear of that. So here's how I look at this whole thing. You have to understand that the only person that would have ended the streak is The Undertaker. Vince McMahon would have never taken that away from him. If you're going to be mad at somebody, you have to be mad at Brock. You have to be mad at The Undertaker, because there's no way he would have let it end unless he wanted it to end. And it's happened, and it happened at WrestleMania 30, and that was just one of the most shocking moments in pro wrestling history right there, and that's something that you'll never forget. I understand a lot of fans are upset, angry, and a lot of people were really upset, but man, you talk about being the top heel in the company, Brock Lesnar just did that. And I'm not saying the match was over-the-top great, and you know, I can understand why people were upset that maybe the match was a little too slow, but I don't think it was as bad as a lot. There's been a lot worse matches, you know, in wrestling, and this is definitely not one of them. And, you know, people can be upset. People can be, you know, I come from the world I was, and I do pro wrestling, and I understand the business side of it. And if Taker does not want to have that streak anymore, then he's the only one that should be allowed. And you have to respect the fact that he decided to give Brock Lesnar that streak up. And it was very surprising. The reaction in the room was just a shock. And that's how you get people emotionally invested into not only wrestling, but into a character that you care about. And people care about, you know, The Undertaker. And people love him and they respect him and he's done so much for the business. But when I don't take wrestling as serious as some people do. And I know there's going to be a lot of those who are going to just completely blow up WWE and blame WWE for everything. But you have to blame Taker. He's the one that would allow something like that to happen. So if you fans are going to blow up right now, you can blow up all you want. I know we've heard Toph blow up already. And he's probably going to do it right after I'm off, done talking, so stay tuned for that. But I don't think there's any wrong in him deciding to stop the streak. And if he's going to come out tomorrow night and retire, then that's his decision. His body can't go anymore. It's just, you know, WrestleMania 25 and 26 was 5-6 years ago. And you have to understand, the guy's getting older. He can't do those moves anymore. He can't put on the show that your fans could probably appreciate more, and he decided to end the streak. And just, you know, Brock Lesnar did leave, and then they left The Undertaker in the ring for his clap out, and the just seeing the sign of 21-1 on the screen just like completely shocked, and just a shocking image. And it's great storytelling. I don't care what people say. If they think I'm an idiot, then, you know, I think you're wrong. Because pro wrestling is a predetermined sport. It's just like a movie that you go to see every single day. You go see movies, they're predetermined, and, you know, if Terminator dies, then Terminator dies. You know, that's just the way it is, even though you don't think he deserves it. So you have to look at it as The Undertaker. He gave the streak up to Brock Lesnar. Brock obviously is going to be staying around for a little bit longer, but man, you talk about a man that's going to get a ton of heat. Brock Lesnar and Paul Heyman are going to get that. So that's the way I look at how this went down. You guys can think I'm wrong, but, you know, you have to look at it as a business standpoint, and you have to look at it as, you know, on Taker's standpoint. Does he want to end the streak? He obviously did.
All right, Nate, what did you think about the match itself and everything else?
I thought it was an okay match. I mean, we said maybe 3 F5s Undertaker would kick out. The third one he didn't kick out. I mean, a little shocking. My buddy even thought it was a fast count or something. I always said the Undertaker streak should never be ended. That's, you know, Undertaker's legacy. What's the point of having WrestleMania 31 and 32 with, you know, Sting? Well, you can still have the Sting Undertaker match. It could be Legend versus Icon. And but I mean, the only good thing about it that under Brock Lesnar winning was a legit guy won, and it's not John Cena's gonna end the streak. Because if that ass clown ended the streak, I would have been done with the product. But nah, I mean, I have no problem Brock Lesnar ending the streak. I just see where they're gonna go with it. If Undertaker retires, maybe Sting talks him out of it, and they have a match. I was just in shock. You know, unbelievable. I always thought Undertaker was gonna keep the streak and it was gonna live with him forever, but I thought the match was okay. I mean, I know Undertaker's really limited in the ring, and I think, you know, with Brock Lesnar's contract, limited dates and all that stuff, so they couldn't really put a great match on. But, I mean, they did what they could. So, I mean, I got to give them to that. But, no, good for Brock Lesnar. A legitimate guy wins, and it's not John Cena. I mean, the only other guy I would like to see is maybe an up-and-coming, like Roman Reigns, end the streak. But other than that, you know, I thought it was okay.
All right, we'll get more to the Sting stuff later. All right, 337, when you called in, you were talking about this match, so I'll give you the floor.
This was bullshit. I understand it's too determined, but this shit was bullshit. How the fuck you come, he's 21-0. Everybody says the baddest people in the business, you put them in the coffin, boom, rest in peace. But you let somebody that's just there for 6 months, somebody that doesn't care about the company, win? Really? I just can't see it. I just can't see it. First of all, Brock Lesnar probably not even going to get a championship match. You know, he's probably not going to be around in about, you know, the next 4 or 5 months from now. He's probably going to go back to, you know, TNA, probably doing martial arts boxing. You know, he's not trustworthy. So why would you let somebody like him get this kill the streak? I'm not understanding this. I respect what man's calling if he feel like he's done with the business. But why not let him go out 22-0 and just kill him like that? Just you know, ride off into the sunset. You know, this is like football. You know, they let, you know, Ray Lewis win his last Super Bowl. He was out. He quit. It's over. You know what I'm saying? Why not just sit him off 22-0 and just be done with it? But you're going to let, you know, Brock Lesnar? Mike
Well, yeah, all right. Really? That one. Oh. I've had some time to think about it a little bit. They always say sometimes when you go through stuff, you should sleep on it. I think I'll sleep on it. It's like the old saying goes, once a cheater, always a cheater. And a lot of times a guy may cheat on his girlfriend in real life. And sometimes he really has changed for the better, but he has to prove that to the woman that he loves. I think we're going to have to, for right now, until we learn more, we're going to have to give the benefit of doubt to Brock Lesnar. I'm pretty much in the same area as you, 337. My main beef is I don't think Brock Lesnar's trustworthy because, again, in the past, he left. They gave him the push, and he left. So Brock Lesnar, if he's going to stay, you know, because this is good heel heat, like TOD said. You know, he's the guy that ended the streak. You know, and just imagine what that could do for Daniel Bryan. You know, I could definitely see, like, you know, a Daniel Bryan-Lesnar feud down the road at, say, SummerSlam. Like, you know, what chance does Bryan have against this guy that ended the streak, you know? So if Lesnar, if he's going to stay, you know, if he's going to stay on a more long-term basis, then maybe down the road when I look back at this, I won't be upset. But all we really have right now is what we know about Lesnar, and what we know about him is that he is untrustworthy. And he does not like the WWE scheduling. And so just based off that, I can understand why fans are angry. Now, what you said earlier, Nate, you said that Sting might show up and, you know, like Taker might show up tomorrow. He might retire. And then Sting shows up and talks him out of retirement. If you guys remember, they've actually done the angle like this in TNA. I think it was in 2009 or something, right before Hogan came in. AJ Styles was going through a losing streak. And he came out, he did this really good promo, and he was going to retire. And then Sting talked him out of it. And Sting sort of became AJ's kind of manager for a few months. And then this eventually led to AJ becoming the TNA World Champion for the very first time. So Sting has done this before. He's done that kind of angle. He's done the angle where he's talked someone out of retirement. You know, that could very well happen. This is just one of those things where we're just going to have to sleep on it. We'll have to wait and see. I know a lot of people are saying, you know, don't get mad at WWE, get mad at Taker. It was Taker's decision. I want to believe that, but according to Ric Flair, Ric Flair said that it was not his decision to retire. It was WWE's decision. You know, he said that several times. And Steve Austin has also said on his podcast that sometimes there's a majority vote from the creative staff when they feel like they should do something. It doesn't matter what you, the performer, wants to do. That's what the creative says. So I don't know. We just got to wait and see. We'll get to it. But to those of you that did not see the match, Brock Lesnar beat Taker. And when he beat him, like what TOD said, it was good storytelling. When he beat him, the referee counted three. And there was no theme music. Like, you know, when someone wins, it plays their theme song, you know, like, Lesnar won. There was no theme music. It was just 1, 2, 3. The commentators were quiet. Paul Heyman himself kind of had a shocked look, like he was surprised. Lesnar was quiet. Taker was just laying there. The cameras just showed the fans' face. They just kind of quiet. It was. I want to say it was about maybe, it felt like an eternity, but in reality it was probably about maybe 30 seconds. It felt like an eternity, but in reality, it was probably about 30 seconds of silence. And then after that, then Lesnar celebrated, and then Heyman, you know, he did his thing, you know, being Heyman, and, you know, they left. Then Brock Lesnar's music came, and then he went up the ramp, and then Taker got up, and, you know, he just got up, and everybody gave him a standing ovation, and, you know, he walked up, he walked out the ring, and he walked out the ramp, and, that was the end. And you know the thing that Taker always does when he walks up the ramp and he does the fist and he walks up? He didn't do that. He just walked up the ramp, and that was it. So that was pretty much what happened. Again, very, very shocking moment. And but again, I'll cool off in time, and when I look back, I'll think about it more rationally, but I still thought this match was garbage. It wasn't a good match at all. I was actually I won't say I was bored, but it wasn't a good match. So anyway, let's move on. This leaves us to our last two matches, and I really can't say much because I was too upset about the Taker thing. I didn't care about these last matches at all.
Well,
this
you know,
was,
I mean,
Eva's...
before you go over, I mean, because I think this is I think there's more talk needed for something like this where the Undertaker streak over. I mean, I don't want to hear the fact that creatives and, you know, make the decisions. No one knows jack shit about any of that stuff, so let's take that out of the consideration. To me, the only person that would make a decision, and Vince McMahon, knowing how he is to loyal guys, you know, if this was the way they wanted to go, there's got to be something going to happen, some reason why that happened. So, one, you're going to tune into Raw tomorrow night. That's for damn sure. You cannot want to watch Raw tomorrow night. But I think, two, you know, is Taker done? Is something else going to happen? We don't know about the whole Sting thing, so I don't want to speculate on unless, you know, something is official. You know, so I think you have to kind of slow down. I know you had a rant, and I know a lot of people are angry and pissed, but, you know, it's not – I mean, we shouldn't be taking this as serious, I think, as most people do. I think just having the crowd reactions, just – you can see people crying. That's how invested people are in a character. And I remember, I mean, he's a part-timer, and I get it. I know Brock Lesnar is not – that, like, a guy like Roman Reigns would deserve it better. But there's got to be something to it, to where they're going. And if I see Lesnar and I see Daniel Bryan as, like, a possibility of a feud, because I think the Undertaker, I think Lesnar's going to move on, and I think now he's going to get that title shot. And I think now, you know, Daniel Bryan will have to face someone like that. You know, he's got to beat someone that defeated the streak at WrestleMania. I mean, Lesnar has now submitted himself into a history that, you know, it makes up for that WrestleMania. I mean, people remember WrestleMania 20, how that went, and now seeing this, you know, people are, like, completely dumbfounded on how that could be. But, you know, let's go back to what pro wrestling is about. It's supposed to be a fight, and Brock Lesnar is a legit badass. Like, if you were to meet Brock Lesnar in front of you, he will fuck you up. And that's his style. And you got to take back to someone like that. Let's say you never met, you don't even know about Brock Lesnar's history. You don't even know anything about Undertaker. You know, considering age, considering, you know, the style of Brock Lesnar, you know, he probably would truly, if they were in a cage, you know, Brock Lesnar would fuck him up. And that's just the reality of it, just because he is Brock Lesnar. But he gave him it took him three F5s to put him down, you know, and then Brock Lesnar kicked out of a tombstone. You know, Brock Lesnar to me is a legit badass, and he had a great match with CM Punk at SummerSlam. People were talking about that for a long time, you know, and this match, you know, it's not about the match you're going to remember. It's about what happened at the end, and that's what people are going to remember. I mean, I know that's how I look at it.
I understand what you're saying. I just don't think that the style that he has now, I don't think that it complements bigger guys very well. I liked him. I love his match with Kurt Angle at WrestleMania 19. I liked him in 2000, like 2, 3, 4. He always reminded me, like, of a more athletic, more dangerous Vader. He did, like, moonsaults. You know, he did, like, a lot of athletic stuff. Since he's come back, his style is pretty much like what you just said. He has, like, this legit badass thing. Like, his matches with Triple H and his match with Taker tonight, it was just a bunch of shadow boxing, ground and pound. You know, like, you know, stuff you see in UFC. I can appreciate that. I just don't think it's very entertaining to look at. He did have a great match with CM Punk. I did like that match. I did enjoy his match with John Cena at Extreme Rules. But the match he had tonight with Taker, I wasn't feeling it at all. It was very slow.
With the slowness of it. It wasn't boring enough for me to not care.
Yeah, we cared. We cared, of course.
Yeah, like, you know, that's the thing. Like, you care because it's Undertaker. Like, if it was anyone else, you could have maybe thought that way. But I don't think Lesnar has had bad matches. I remember 29. A lot of people just didn't like the match because they loved the Undertaker-CM Punk match. That's just the placement of that match. You know, you have to watch it again. I think you have to watch it again because I think that, you know, how many times have you watched that match with Triple H and Brock Lesnar from WrestleMania?
Actually, I watched it on the network 2 days ago, and I analyzed it very well. And pretty much what you said, there were a lot of factors. It was in an open arena. You were there. And sometimes the sound doesn't come off as well in an open arena. It was right after CM Punk's Taker match. And as you said, fans were into that match. And it really exhausted the crowd. Paul Heyman, who was very vocal in the CM Punk Taker match, you know, he was tired, as you can imagine. And, you know, wasn't it cold that night? How cold was it, Will?
It was pretty damn cold. But if you... you know, first thing you have to look at was, I remember they did a special on YouTube where it showed that the WrestleMania 29 ring actually had 6 heat lamps under it. And
yeah, I saw that. That was pretty interesting.
Yeah, that's shit you don't even know about. And that was pretty cool to learn. So when they're hitting that mat, it's not, and I've hit a mat in 20, 30 degrees. And that was about, I'd say, 30 to 40 degrees. I've hit a mat in like 20, maybe even 10 degrees with layers of clothing on. It hurts like a motherfucker. So in the cold, wrestling, it sucks. That really sucks. And
what also sucks in the cold is...
And they had a heated ring. They had a heated ring on top of this. And you know, they had to follow up a match that I think a lot of fans were invested in, and especially with Paul Bearer passing and everything that went on with that. People had a hard time investing into this match, where I thought it was better than SummerSlam. I mean, as a fan there, I enjoyed that match. I thought it was good. Was it the match of the night? No, but it was better than most of the other matches on the damn card. So you can't.
Yeah, it was
can't
better. That match was a victim of circumstance.
Placement.
And I felt sorry for Paul Heyman the most because it's actually very difficult to all the listeners out there. I only noticed because I used to attend a choir class. It's very difficult to sing in the cold, much less yell. Heyman was so loud and so vocal in that match with CM Punk and Taker. To walk down that ramp, be so vocal, walk back that ramp, walk back down again with Lesnar, you could just tell Heyman was... Look, if you ever watched that match again, listeners, just pay attention to Paul Heyman, and you'll see, like, he was just sort of there. So, anyway, we spent a lot of time on this topic. Maybe we can probably, like, dedicate a whole episode to this Taker thing on a later date. Let's move on down the card. This is the Divas Invitational. To those of you that don't know, minor news, Vicky Guerrero apparently is done. This was her last night as part of the WWE roster. I remember a long time ago I read something like after the passing of Eddie Guerrero, Vicky was basically like set for life. She would always have a job with WWE. But apparently Vicky is done. I'll have to reconfirm that. But I read something like on Twitter about an hour before the show that tonight might be like her last night and stuff like that. So Divas Invitational, I was not feeling this match at all. Let me rephrase. I didn't care about the match. But I, to be fair, I didn't care about the match even before the Taker stuff. AJ wins, blah, blah, who cares. TOD, do you have an opinion about this?
I'm sorry, I just lost train of thought. When it comes down to this Divas match, it actually wasn't too bad. Remember, this is a 14-woman match. Just with one fall, I don't think you're going to get, like, a blockbuster match with 14 women in one fall. But I actually kind of liked the match. There was actually some pretty good spots in it. I thought the Bellas going through the ropes outside, that was kind of surprising. I never saw them doing that. Tamina was good. You know, I think all the girls got in there. AJ still walked out the champion, which was surprising. But it makes her look like a dominant diva because, you know, all 13 divas didn't beat her. So I think that was a good moment. I thought AJ Lee winning was pretty cool. She's obviously not in a doghouse like most people think because she's dating CM Punk. So let's get that out of the system now. Just enjoy it. You know, she's a good wrestler. She's a good character. And I think her winning was shocking, but it was still good that she won.
Okay, Nate, any thoughts on this match?
Who's CM Punk? I know Phil Brooks, but anyways.
I apologize. You're right.
No, what a shock. What a shock. 14 people, and then AJ sneaks in and gets the win. Oh, man. Anyways, nah, no sub. There were some decent spots in the match. I mean, they did the best they could with 14 people, you know, a clusterfuck match, but it was okay. AJ, you know, keeps the title for a little bit longer, and, you know, eventually, you know, the Total Divas, one of them is going to get the title for the TV show, but nah, good for AJ. You know, she got engaged too, so cool.
Alrighty. Alright, 337, any opinions, thoughts about the Divas Invitational?
This match is bullshit. I'm going to be honest. Y'all up here fronting this shit, but I'm going to keep it real. This is bullshit. This was a waste of $9.99. Okay? This, you could have just went barbecue. You know, go down the street, smoke a blunt, get high. This was garbage. You know what I mean? Why not just have this match? Didn't have the Undertaker match. This is just disrespect for the Undertaker. Let me get this straight. Undertaker loses. When you come out with a bullshit match for the Divas? Really? So that's like a slap in the face, like, thank you, Undertaker. We're going 21-1. So we can have a bunch of bullshit matches to celebrate your legacy. Really? No. That was just disrespectful. Wow.
Oh, man.
Yeah, well, you know.
We're on the Divas match, you know that, right? You know, we're kind of, you know, so why don't we kind of get over that? We're moving on to it. You know, we don't want to disrespect Divas. We knew they were going on after that match, so that's just the way it is. I thought the Divas were not that bad. To me, I think, you know, it's not the Divas' fault. It's kind of the system's fault on how they're performing or how they are. So I know a lot of people give women's wrestling shit, but, you know, you can't always blame them. You know, like, there are some good talent out there, so let's not disrespect them either.
All righty, this brings us to our main event, Daniel Bryan
versus... What about the WrestleMania 1 in the back? We didn't even talk about the backstage segments. That was awesome.
Okay, you can talk about it.
Okay, so basically, WrestleMania 1, it was Hulk Hogan in the back with Mean Gene Okerlund. All of a sudden, Paul Orndorff and Roddy Piper come up to them, ready to, we're still bitter about the WrestleMania 1 loss, and then Mr. T comes in, and basically the idea is they're ready to fight, but they're trying to bury the hatchet. I thought it was hilarious that Mr. T and Roddy Piper hugged it out, which you know that those two guys do not like each other at all. And I thought it was just funny that that occurred, but it was so hilarious to see that segment in the back that they kind of forgave each other for that WrestleMania. So that I thought that was pretty cool. That was actually kind of a funny little thing.
Oh, yeah, and the brother count tonight was 6, 5 by Hogan, 1 by The Rock. So I said 15.
I can't believe you counted that.
Oh, I counted. I was counting those brothers.
Wow.
I counted the brothers.
All right. Sorry. My timer for the Divas match was 6:48. Timer for Lesnar Taker was 25:25. All right. This brings us to the main event match.
Yeah, Undertaker's entrance, I counted that too. It was like 6 minutes. From the start of his bong and all that crap to come to the ring. Almost lasted longer than a Divas match.
Right, this brings us to the Daniel Bryan, Batista, Randy Orton. Honestly, what I'm going to do is I'm gonna look at the second half of Mania 30 later, probably tomorrow. Again, that Taker Lesnar thing really took me out of this. I really did not. I wasn't there. I saw bits and pieces of this match. Orton, they played him out to his theme. Cool. Batista came out. Okay, cool. Daniel Bryan came out. Basically, this was more or less sort of similar to the Benoit Triple H HBK match from WrestleMania 20. There were some similar spots, but it was a little different. It was Bryan, he was injured. You know, it was like, you know, it was Batista or Orton getting in offense and then Bryan trying to get offense in and then Batista or Orton just pushing him away because he was already injured. And, you know, this continued for about 10 minutes and then eventually Triple H came disguised as a cameraman for some reason, which doesn't make sense because he's COO. He can do whatever the fuck he wants. And he pulls the ref out when Daniel Bryan is going for a pinfall and something happens. I think Bryan, like, suicide dives Triple H or something. But what eventually does happen, this is a kind of a cool spot, where Orton and Batista, they decide to team up to temporarily take out Bryan, which is similar to what HBK and Triple H did to Benoit at Mania 20, where Batista, he did a Batista bomb, and then Orton caught him in midair and turned it into an RKO into the table. So it was a pretty cool spot, and instead of them just having him lay there like they did Benoit, they took Bryan and they took him to the back, and then Bryan, he came back. So, and then it was just everybody hitting their finishers and then everyone kicking out like it always happens at WrestleMania. And Bryan eventually puts the yes lock on Batista, and Batista taps out, and there you go. So I need to look at the second half again because the Taker thing really took me out of this show. And I know I'm not the only one that feels that way. It really took me out of this. I could not enjoy the show after that. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to watch the second half on a later day. When I'm after some good rest, after having some good food, and I'll give this second half a better shot. Daniel Bryan won. He gets the titles. The confetti comes down. And the best part was, like, this little girl and this blonde chick came in the ring, and they hugged him. The commentators didn't even say who they were. Like, was that his mom, his sister, his niece? Like, who is that? They wouldn't even say who it was. That was the funny part, just some random chick. Whatever. So Bryan wins. You know, he's the easier WWE World Heavyweight Champion now, and that's pretty much it, though. That's the end. So, TOD, what did you think about this match?
The match was really good. I thought that my biggest concern was I thought the fans might not get into it, only because, obviously, they're still upset about Taker. So I was trying to figure out, like, hey, are these people going to, like, if they really want to get Daniel Bryan over, they need to get, or they want to make this a memorable show, they got to get their asses back into this match. And he was coming down the aisle, and then fans were not, like, really reacting. But then you could start to see when Triple H and Stephanie came out, you could start to see that the fans were starting to react to it. You know, they were starting to chant, this is awesome. Daniel Bryan is, like, the underdog in this whole match. I thought the idea of bringing Brad Armstrong back out, you know, a lot of fans actually forgot about that he screwed Daniel Bryan. And he took him out, and then he did a suicide dive onto Triple H. Brad Armstrong and Stephanie, she got taken out as well. And then the sledgehammer shot, which was great. What I thought was interesting was that happened, like, almost in the middle of the match, which, you know, is different. That, you know, you think that would be at the ending, but that came in the middle. So Daniel Bryan not only had to overcome that, but then the spot with, you know, the tables. And, man, that looked insane with Batista giving him the bomb and Randy Orton taking the bump on the table. And a couple things happened there. Daniel Bryan, you know, we weren't sure how he landed, but you could clearly see Randy Orton hit his back on the television monitor. That had to hurt a lot. you know, his back hits a monitor, you know, which is sharp, you know, and obviously the monitor stayed intact. So it was definitely, oof, it was definitely hurtful. So I think that they went through a lot. You know, Daniel Bryan leaving, you know, you could see people around there like, wow, he must be really hurt. They're bringing, like, the doctor out. You know, we don't really know how well he landed. It looked pretty serious, but then when he came back, got in the ring, you know, fought it out. Just a great storytelling night for a guy like Daniel Bryan who went from being – they showed video footage of his Ring of Honor stuff. I remember seeing that in the Triple H video. And then to get where he is now, that is just truly – how can you not feel something for that where a guy struggling to get over and, you know, is able to do it and beat not only Triple H but Stephanie and a crooked referee and critics and, you know, two Evolution members. It's just a great storytelling night, you know, a shoulder injury, you know, being put through a table. Talk about, like, defying odds, you know, that's just good storytelling. And that's wrestling 101. It's not something you have – you don't have to say, oh, I hate you or I hate – you know, it's supposed to be simple. And that's what this feud has now culminated to. And we finally got a breakout star. And this is I cannot remember the last time I remember this was WrestleMania 21 with Batista and John Cena both that night getting over. That was the last time I could recall when somebody was able to get way over and become like the number one star in the company. And that to me is what reminds me of that. It was just a great moment, great night. You can see he broke down, you know, emotional, confetti. Man, they made him the number one guy tonight. And that was the goal, and they did that.
Okay, Nate, what did you think about the main event match?
I thought it was great. I loved everything about it. I mean, I felt bad for Warren for that table spot. I mean, landing on the monitor.
Oof.
My God, man, his back must be killing him. But, no, I liked the interference with Stephanie and Triple H. The only thing I wish happened, maybe Vince came out or Shane came out. That would have been nice to see and beat the crap out of Triple H. But, no, I thought it was good. I liked them. I was waiting for that stretcher moment, you know, Brian getting out of it and getting the win. No, I'm just glad that it ended the way it should have ended. 75,000 fans chanting yes, and Brian with the titles, and that's the way it should have ended. And that's all. You know, I thought it was a very good match, back and forth with Orton, Batista. They all worked, you know, good in the ring. Batista, I mean, he's a winded guy, but no, I thought it was a very decent way to end WrestleMania 30, especially people being upset with the Undertaker taking the loss. I mean, I figured it out, Chris. I know why you're upset because you didn't get that orgasm mark-out moment with Sting tonight, but don't worry, it's coming. You know, you'll get your moment. But no, I thought
that and just the shitty match in general with Lesnar, but whatever.
I thought it wasn't that great of a match, but I thought it was decent. Like I said, with Lesnar's, you know, limited schedule, it's hard to work a great match. And plus, I don't think those two guys really get along. That's another thing too. So it's hard.
Yeah. We'll talk more about that later. 337, any opinions on the main event?
Oh, I'm just happy for Dane because he finally get the belt. He's been deserving it. You know, he's been getting screwed by a bum wrestler, Triple H. I just think it's about giving he just do the belt. Other than that, it was pretty much. Yeah, it was okay for Daniel. I'm happy that he got his belt, you know. And I was pretty bummed out to see Triple H, to see Undertaker get screwballed. You know what I mean? But, yeah, you know, and making Brock Lesnar look like he's one of the greatest wrestlers ever, but he's not, you know. But pretty much, I was pretty okay. Man, I thought Daniel did what he was supposed to do. You know what I mean? You know how you go into something knowing what's supposed to happen, you know. I thought he played his position like he did what he was supposed to do, winning the Triple H match and dominating that match and doing what he had to do to get, you know, he just did his job. He went to work, you know, he had his little lunch pail, put his little hat on, he went to work, did his job, boom, came home. Pretty much, I just thought it was an okay match.
Yeah, Yeah, I didn't even notice any of that Orton stuff. That was just how out of it I was. So I'll have to rewatch this stuff again. Overall, WrestleMania 30 was good. It was a good show. A lot of things were accomplished. You had the Usos retain the tag team championships. You basically did the split of the Real Americans. They turned Cesaro into a star. You made Daniel Bryan into a star. I won't say Cena made Bray Wyatt, but he had a good match with Bray Wyatt. Hopefully it'll lead to something in the future. You know, the whole Taker thing, which we've already talked about more than enough. The Divas match, which I didn't really care about, but whatever. And then the main event match where Daniel Bryan won. Overall, I thought this was a good WrestleMania. Definitely better. I enjoyed it more than 29 and 28 and 27. I've always said in the past, the last Mania I really enjoyed truly from top to bottom was 24. I liked everything about that show. Every Mania since then has had some type of discrepancy for me. Overall, I really, really enjoyed 25. What I'm going to do later, like I said earlier, I'm going to get some good sleep. You know, after I get off work tomorrow, after I have some dinner, I'm going to rewatch the second half and try to enjoy the second half again. Again, that Taker thing really, really took me off the shell. It really did. So I just couldn't enjoy the second half at all. Overall, this is a good show. It was worth the money. It's definitely worth the network. That's the one positive we can all agree on. The network's working great. I think WWE is breathing a sigh of relief. There were no issues, at least on my end. I use a computer. Overall, it was a good show. It got fans buzzing. And we just got to see what happens on Post-Mania Raw, because as we know, Post-Mania Raw has become a tradition itself. It's Post-Mania Raw, at this point in the game, it has its own culture almost. People are considering Post-Mania Raw to be an extension of WrestleMania itself. It's been going on for a few years now, and you know, with what happened tonight and with the rumors going around, it's definitely going to be a must-see show. I'll definitely be checking that out. Overall, if I had to give WrestleMania 30 a number grade, I'm going to give it an 8 out of 10. What about you, TLD?
I can't remember the last time I really enjoyed a WrestleMania, and the sad part is I went to WrestleMania last year. So, when I saw Hogan, Rock, and Stone Cold in the ring at the same time, I was like, fuck, they just beat WrestleMania 29 already, just from that part alone. I wish I saved my money and went to this WrestleMania. Honestly, 10 out of 10, truly a 10 out of 10, because I was shocked, I was invested, every match on the card had a purpose. This compares to like 17, where every match was good and nothing was bad. It compares to me to WrestleMania 21, where every match was, 21 was the last time I would say I had.
Yeah, you know, I was going to say 21, because 21, if you look at the card, it really wasn't that big. It had a short card, but for what it had, everything delivered, and it did its point. Everyone got over, and pretty much like you just described. I think that this was probably the new WrestleMania 21.
Yes, it's the new 17, the new 21. It had every, like I said, the whole point was that every match had a purpose on the show, and it was strong. People enjoyed it. I think that even the women's match was not bad. And I couldn't say that I wasn't invested in the match because I did enjoy it. I watched the entire card from top to bottom, and just from everything, this is the best WrestleMania in a very long time. I know a lot of people in the last couple of years, one or two matches sticks out. There's a lot of things that sticked out in this show, and WWE knew that. They had their cards. This is a big thing. It's a gamble. This is like their WrestleMania 1 gamble, where they did another gamble. They had the network. They had all these new stars. They had to establish these stars. They made WrestleMania 30 extremely important. They had an incredible Hall of Fame class. They were streaming a bunch of shows on the network. WrestleMania Access, from what I'm seeing, looked really good. I mean, it looked better than 29. Access 29 sucked. That's just the reality of it. It was just a really good show. I loved it. Taker streak alone is just amazing. And by the way, there was no Phil Brooks on this show. As you can see, you don't need him to make a show look good. Cesaro got over big time. I thought the tag match was great. Daniel Bryan is their new number one guy. John Cena is taking that back step, I think. Having three legends in the ring like Hogan, Rock, and, you know, all you have to do is put Hogan, Rock, Stone Cold, and John Cena in the ring, and those are your four big moneymakers of the company. Man, it was just a good night. Just a good night to be a wrestling fan, I really have to say. I 10 out of 10. I can't find a flaw on this show that I thought was like, oh, that completely sucked.
All right, what about you, Nate?
Yeah, like you were saying, Chris, a 7.5, 8, I thought. Losing a little points with the Divas match, because if it went a little bit longer, I think it would have been a little better. The Bryan Orton one, that was good. Cena and Bray, decent match. You know, I take a little points off because Cena won, because I hate that freaking guy. But overall, I thought it was a really good moment. And, I mean, the opening segment, come on, Austin, Rock, you know, Stone Cold, and I mean, what could he ask for more, man? That was awesome, breaking some beers. I thought it was great. Like I said, an 8. I think I'll give it an 8. Just a little points here and there for some of the matches. But, no, it was a very decent WrestleMania, better than the last two WrestleManias, you know. So I give it a good score. I thought it was very good.
Yeah, I was being generous with my score. The only reason I gave it an 8, I really want to give it a 7. The only reason I'm giving it an 8 is because the show ended with Daniel Bryan as champion, which is a feel-good moment, and which is what everybody wanted. That's what I'm giving it an 8. Without that, I'm giving it a 7. All right, 337, do you have an overall rating score for the show overall?
I want to give it a 5 out of 5, but I know that y'all probably talk down on me, but I really don't care. But I'm going to give it a 7 out of 5, because you said Daniel Bryan, he deserves it. He's a great guy, you know, for being so-called a B-plus player, you know what I mean? I give it a 7.5. You know what I mean? Some things didn't really do it for me. You know, Daniel, he kind of with the glue, like the marshmallow to the Rice Krispie cake, you know what I mean? He kind of just holds it all together. You know what I mean? Yeah, you know, but pretty much, yeah, 7.5. I give it a 7.5. That's the best I can do.
Yeah, it's just pretty much... That's pretty much all I have. We talked about the show itself, and really all that's left to do is just sit and wait for Raw tomorrow and just wait for answers, wait for reports, and just we just got to see what's going on at TLD. Is there anything else you wanted to say?
Oh, God, I'm already rewatching where Brock Lesnar pinned The Undertaker, and just watching Paul Heyman, it's like he couldn't believe that actually happened. Man,
yeah.
Oh, my God. That is a clip that will be played back and probably, like, get, like, a million YouTube hits in one night. That, I mean, just watching the fans and, like, you see the F5 happen, right? And, you know, he goes for the pin. Referee, you can't even see the referee. And you almost look like it was a mistake. Like, that's how, like, weird that camera angle was. But watching Paul Heyman's reaction, like, oh, my God, you beat the streak. Like, it's just like, and the fans reacting, wow. That's a clip that's going to be watched back for years. That's just like, that's like the new clip of clips in wrestling, just watching that.
I think the streak ending is probably going to be like the next Hogan slamming Andre. Like so many older fans.
Yes, that's exactly
yeah, so
what
so many
that
older
is.
Fans
that's
I've talked to.
Comparison.
Yeah, so many older fans I've talked to just love talking about Hogan slamming Andre as the moment like forever, I think. Taker's streak is going to be like the moment that, you know, fans of today's generation will still be talking about like 30 years from now. Again, one last time for our listeners, just describing the match. You know, Lesnar came out with Heyman. Taker came out. Taker had a cool outfit. I liked the. It had like this sort of red violet design to the jacket and to the hat. It kind of reminded me of Papa Shango, probably a little New Orleans look. It was pretty cool. The bell rung, and again, like it was a very UFC style match. It was Lesnar doing a lot of ground and pound, like trapping Taker in a corner, and just doing a lot of punches to the gut, to the leg, to the chest, just kind of beating you down. Like, you know, nothing really fancy, just straight out old-fashioned brute strength, you know, bear hugs, arm bars, and every time Taker got a move in, you know, it was like, you know, his occasional DDT, his clothesline, his leg drop, but Taker, he really didn't get anything going. Like, you know how, like, for the listeners, for most matches, it's like a dance almost, you know, like, you know, person A gets in their offense, person B gets in their offense. This was really like Lesnar just kind of beating down Taker. Taker didn't really get anything going, and it was just the commentators just sort of acknowledging that, you know, Taker is, you know, he looks lifeless. And, you know, hit the F5 on Taker, and Taker kicked out. Taker, he didn't even hit his usual trademark moves. He got one tombstone out. Lesnar kicked out of that. He got one choke slam in, and it was sort of a weaker-looking choke slam. I'm not sure if that was on purpose or if he's really just can't do it that well anymore. He did get the Hell's Gate in, but Lesnar overpowered that several times. And, it was three F5s. I thought probably the neatest part of the match I liked was when Taker went for old school, and then Lesnar countered that and turned that into an F5, which I thought was kind of cool. It was one of those matches where, like, every move Taker did, Lesnar just overpowered it. It wasn't like he had an answer for it. It's just like Taker's offense just wasn't working on Lesnar. You know, it's like punching a brick wall, you know, like eventually your hand's going to give. And, you know, like TOB said, when Lesnar hit that final F5, it wasn't really as impactful as the previous F5s. Like, what I loved about Lesnar back in the day was he used to do those really, really good, impactful F5s. He would do, like, that swing around, and this was just kind of a regular-looking F5. Lesnar pinned him, and like TOD said, the referee counted one, two, and then at the three, it was at that weird camera angle. It zoomed out. The crowd was shocked. The referee was shocked. Lesnar was shocked. Heyman was shocked. I was shocked. You were shocked. Everyone was shocked. And again, really, in reality, it was probably about 30 seconds, but it felt like an eternity. It was just quiet. The weirdest part was there was no theme music. That was the creepy part, because normally when somebody wins, their theme plays. But Lesnar pinned him, and then it was just quiet. And then after he won, you saw the numbers 21-1, and it was just quiet. It felt like forever, just quietness. And then finally Lesnar's theme played, and, you know, him and Heyman, they left. And that was that. So, yeah, just I don't think I'll look back at that match. I don't think I can. But I will look back at the Divas match, and I will look back at the Triple Threat match, and I'm going to pray that what you said, Nate, happens. I'm going to pray that they're going to go the retirement Sting talks them out of it angle. I hope. That's really all I have left at this point. That's what I'm hoping. So
yeah. I think the picture of the night was that black guy after the Undertaker got beat. He looked like a guy who went into a proctology thing. My God, his face. That sold it. Put that on a T-shirt. That face.
Yeah. Yeah, successful show, though, successful. And another thing we haven't talked about, the ring design was really cool. I like the blends of purple and blue and gold, the triple X's and stuff. The ring design was very good tonight. I liked it. It was nice to see a dome show. I haven't seen a dome show in a long time. But let's talk about that. TOD, did you like the designs of the show?
Oh, well, I can tell you right now, WrestleMania 29 set was a hell of a lot better than that one. But I think overall the look of it was really nice. I think it was super neat with the whole big three X's, which was really super cool. I like the Roman numerals. You know, I'm a Roman numeral kind of guy, and I kind of like going with that. You know, 29 wasn't Roman numerals. At least I don't remember. I don't think it was.
It wasn't.
Most of it. Yeah, so I think going back to that Roman numeral thing, it looked really cool. I have to say, it looked really cool. Not too many fireworks. You know, they couldn't do the outdoor type thing, so there weren't too many fireworks as normal, but I thought the stage actually, the ramp was cool, because the ramp, the sides had, like, things on it that were really interesting, like Daniel Bryan had yes, and Triple H had like their own saying. So I thought the ramp design actually was super neat, because when you zoom away from that, you could see what it says on the ramp. So I thought the ramp design looked really cool. Overall, it looked great. It always does at WrestleMania, but I thought the ramp to me was the biggest thing that stuck out.
Yeah, it's very interesting, because when I look back, the ramp for WrestleMania 10, well, not the ramp, the overall design for WrestleMania 10 and 20, for the most part, was also relatively simple, but sleek. I think for whatever reason, it seems like for these odd number shows, like 29, 19, 9, it looks like these odd number manias just seem to have more unique, out-the-norm designs. Have you guys noticed that?
Yeah.
Oh,
Just you, TLD, like the Roman numerals. Like, have you noticed, like, for some of the more odd-number shows, like WrestleMania 9, WrestleMania 19, WrestleMania 29, it just seems like a lot of these odd-number shows have, like, the coolest designs.
I think it depends on the logo. I think it depends on where they're going and what they're doing. It has to look good too. You know, I think, you know, when you look at the Rumo, you know, sometimes the number of Rumo doesn't look right, or it looks like too long. You know, so I don't know. I'm going to look at the Roman numeral for 31, you know, and see what that looks like, and see if that's actually going to look, you know, somewhat decent. But it's good. I think they might. It depends on the year. I think like they can't have, you know, WrestleMania 47 and it's going to be super long Roman numerals, you know. So you know, there's a time and a place for it, I would say.
All right.
I thought it was cool. I thought what was cool was the wrestlers' colors were inside the Triple X in the WrestleMania when they came out. I thought that was kind of cool. And then the ramp, too, was awesome. And the Undertaker with the caskets and stuff, I thought that was kind of cool, too.
I liked how the Triple X's had, like for each wrestler that came out, there was, like, a different design for it. Like, when Hogan came out, the X's were, like, red and yellow, and it was kind of wavy.
Yeah, exactly.
When Triple H came out, it was a bunch of green lasers and stuff. Like, I liked that. I thought that was pretty cool. But, We pretty much exhausted most of the topics, really. All this really to do is really to just kind of wait and for tomorrow and just hope something. We just got to hope and see what's going to happen, see what the payoff is. On a more positive note, post-Mania Raw again is always the most exciting show. For me, it's been the most exciting show ever. From any promotion, I just love it. Post-Mania Raw, I can't describe it, man. It's like a phenomenon, you know. It's like a lot of hardcore wrestling fans, you know, they save up money and they're going to go to WrestleMania, but many of these fans, it's like, hey, you know, because 9 times out of 10, the Raw the next night is going to be in the same city as WrestleMania anyway. So many of these fans, they stay for Raw as well. And just, it's like Steve Austin said, like, the stars align, the planets align, everything just aligns for like 24 hours, and just for whatever reason, the crowds on that night are just really hot, really excited. The matches are better. And for whatever reason, it seems like the creative team has common sense for that night only, and just everything just goes according to plan. And, you know, there's always the exciting debuts and returns and stuff like that. You know, really, Mania, post-Mania should really be a pay-per-view at this point, but let's hopefully let it stay on Raw. So I'm excited for it, and, you know, it's most importantly, it's always like the reboot. You know, that's like when things start over and the season starts over and stuff. So anyway, we pretty much exhausted everything. Is there anything else you would like to talk about tonight, TLD?
Oh, sorry. The Hall of Fame, I thought, was another thing. Great. It was, you know, Mr. T's speech was tremendous, and the Warrior was tremendous. Seeing him again, great Hall of Fame. You know, some of the speeches were kind of dull, I would admit, but I think just the idea of having, like, Jake Roberts, just the way he spoke, and, you know, just seeing Warrior again for the first time in 16 years, is cool. So having them at the stage at WrestleMania was pretty cool, seeing Warrior again. It's, you know, he obviously can't run to the ring again. He, let's see, would have allowed him to do it. But I thought the Hall of Fame class was very strong this year.
Yeah, it was a great show, and shout-outs to Carlito for not caring and shooting last night. That was great. I enjoyed Carlito's shoot very much.
Yeah, that was, yeah, again, you know, he got an open mic, and so, but, you know, here's the thing about that, you know, they're trying to honor his father, and for him to try to get a kind of like a shot in to the WWE was kind of like, you know, not really polite, I would say. You know, they're letting him come back even though he doesn't have a good relationship with the company, or, you know, he wanted to get his shit in. This, it was about his dad, you know, and I think that was kind of like a messed up thing too.
Yeah, I'll be very interested when he finally retires so I can listen to his RF video shoot. I'm very curious. I've heard a lot of very interesting things about Carlito. I'd like to hear his perspective one day down the road. Were you saying something, Nate?
Yeah, I was going to say, polite. What about Mr. T getting yanked by Kane? I mean, come on, polite. He got that old...
Mr. T thing is sort of... Yeah, here's the thing about Mr. T. It wasn't that I didn't... I liked his speech, too, like T.O.B. The problem with Mr. T's speech is you're being inducted into the Hall of Fame, so, of course, you're allowed to talk about whatever you want, but you need to bring it full circle, and you got to relate it to, like, the WWE Hall of Fame. His speech wasn't about that. His speech was about his mom. Not that there's anything wrong with that, because you should love your mom. And I actually enjoyed his speech. I love the link you sent me. I thought his speech was so good, I didn't even have to go to church this morning because I already went to church just hearing him talk. So I enjoyed his speech, but the problem was it didn't really have anything to do with the Hall of Fame. Because from what I understand, Mick Foley, he talked for like an hour last year, and no one cut him off. But Mr. T, I have my timer at around let me look at my notes here. I had Mr. T's timer for about 37 minutes before they took him off. So, but I'm in the same category as you, T.O.D. I actually enjoyed his speech. I thought it was hilarious. He's making me look forward to Mother's Day now.
Well, you know, Mr. T's speech, you know, made me want to call my mom the next day. And, you know, no matter what day it is now, that I will indeed cherish my mother. You better cherish your damn mom. But you know what I liked about his speech, too, was that he kind of went into his family history. And a lot of times you don't know a lot about those, like, celebrity, you know, and their families and where they came from. And sometimes it's good to hear those stories. And, yes, it had nothing to do with WrestleMania, and I get that. But, you know, it was just a hilarious speech. And then when the what started going, you could see Stone Cold laughing. And then Mr. T kind of, like, you know, even though he was trying to be serious, then he kind of, like, jokingly said, you know, I'm trying. Obviously, I love my mother, and it was just funny. That part was funny, but then I think Jake Roberts' speech, it hit me. And, you know, even when my fiance was watching that, and it was just like, it hit us. Like, wow, the struggles he went through. And, you know, talking about, like, he's like saying, I can't do another match. I can't do it. You know, and just that, you know, that Diamond Dallas Page saved him. And talking about his family, man. How can you not want to, like, listen to that and watch that and feel that? I tell you right now, Jake Roberts, his speech was truly awesome, a very well-thought-out speech. And that's why he's one of the best psychological and talkers in the game.
You know, thanks for bringing that up, Tio. I'm not defending WWE for this because a lot of fans were angry. But even when people make dumb decisions, I try to put myself in their shoes, and I try to rationalize it. I know a lot of fans were really annoyed and irritated at that Hornswoggle El Torito thing where he was running, and then Torito, like, you know, a lot of fans were like, just they weren't feeling that segment at all. Many fans felt like, okay, that's something you do in a pre-show or on Raw. You don't do that at Hall of Fame. It's disrespectful. Fans are booing it. When I first saw it, if you remember, that was right after Jake's speech. And like you said, T.O.D., Jake was talking about a lot of dark, morbid topics. A very powerful speech. So putting myself in WWE shoes, the only thing I can say is I think that was probably their attempt to lighten the mood, you know? Like, you just kind of like, you know, have you ever been like in a really depressing kind of mood and you just say something silly to lighten up the fans? I think that was what it was. I think WWE was attempting to lighten the mood. If they really wanted to do that, they should have just did that thing with Bad News Barrett that he did later. That they should have just had Bad News come out after that and then just kind of saved the whole Torito Hornswoggle thing just for a Raw segment or something. So, you know, I'm just trying to think about, you know, why WWE did it. You know, I mean, do you have any thoughts about that, TOD, or did it bother you at all, or did you care?
I like the Bad News Barrett one because I think that, you know, the guys in the audience, the wrestlers, love when he talks and does those things because it's like, it's funny to the guys in the back, so you might as well go out in the front and do it and talk about it. So I thought that was good and, for that part of the show. I didn't get the Bull and the, you know, Hornswoggle thing. That one I definitely didn't understand. But I thought the idea of Bad News Bear coming up pretty much saying that, hey, a lot of you guys are not going to be Hall of Famers, which I thought was quite funny because it's probably true that a lot of them are not going to be Hall of Famers. So that was pretty funny. So that was good.
Yeah, earlier you were talking about Brock Lesnar being, like, the best heel. I disagree. I think Bad News Barrett is because it just occurred to me what's going to happen tomorrow. I think what's going to happen tomorrow is that the Undertaker's theme music is going to play, and then Bad News Barrett is going to come out, and he's going to be like, in case you thought the Undertaker was going to retire undefeated, I've got some bad news. He's probably going to say something stupid like that.
Oh,
you
yeah.
know, just to make up being number 30 at the Rumble. Hey, I mean, it'll give him heat, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, I didn't ask them. Let me ask 337s about the Hall of Fame before we call it a day. 337, sorry for having you on hold for so long. You haven't talked about the Hall of Fame. Did you watch the Hall of Fame? And if so, what did you think about it?
I'm playing a fool who take me off the stage. I love my mama. I want to talk about my mama. I was saying all they did for the business and they're going to do this by my mama. Yeah, I thought that was, like, pretty cool. Yeah, how you going to take a man off for talking about his mama? Baby, we just keep it real. I'm gonna keep it real. Whenever you talk about God too much in the business, that's not best for business. That's basically what it was. Mr. T was he was quoting a little bit too many Bible scriptures. That's what it was. But hey, you know what? Hey, well, let's get him off the stage. You know, let's get him off the stage. We don't want to be, you know, we sacrilegious. Let's get Paul him off the stage. You know, we're gonna bring Cain out, who's the Satan's favorite child, you know, let's bring him out. Okay, I thought that was like a slap in the face. I really did. You know, but I thought they should have had at least one more inductee in the Hall of Fame. I think they should do just add, since they get into, you know, this add at least about one more inductee a year. You know what I mean? I used cool to have it to a few demos, but, you know, I would like to see, like, Macho Man get inducted, you know, or, you know, well, somebody like that, let's see. Big Diesel fan, you know, Shawn Michaels or somebody, something like that, you know. Well, you know, twice, because he did have, you know, the X Generation thing, and, But, yeah, I really like to see somebody else, you know, like from the Attitude Era get abducted in the Hall of Fame, because there was a lot of people. Like, for instance, The Rock, you know, he deserved to be in the Hall of Fame. I'm just be honest. He's still wrestling, but come on, man, really? When your company was, like, stood still, you know, he carried the company when Austin got hurt. I think,
pretty much. I'm sure that would happen. I was looking at where Randy Savage is from. I thought he was from California, but I was mistaken. He's actually from Florida. So I'm not sure who they'll be putting in the Hall of Fame. One thing you got to remember, though, about the Hall of Fame, we've talked about this before, a lot of fans, they want to they want to have your Owen Harts, your Randy Savages, your Rick Rudes and stuff. Again, fans, you got to understand that all these guys are no longer with us. They're deceased. And putting in more than one deceased person can be depressing at times. So if you've noticed, they usually put one deceased person per year, like Yokozuna the year before, Paul Bearer this year. It's usually one deceased person per year. since WrestleMania is in California next year, I'm going to assume The Rock is going to go in. He'll probably be the headliner. As far as the deceased person, I'm just going to go ahead and just guess maybe Owen. Maybe they'll finally put Owen in there. I've been seeing Bret Hart talk about Owen on Twitter lately. Bret seems to be very confident that Owen will be going in soon, so that would be cool. But, yeah, you know.
What about Big Vis? Big Viscerous? You know, he's deceased too. He just passed. You know, there's a lot of athletes just passed. Oh, you know how I'm following WWE? When Big Vis died, they didn't even do like a ring the bell for him. It's like, hey, Big Viscerous, appreciate you for using you for the company, but we're not going to honor your memory.
They gave him a tribute.
They did?
Yeah, they didn't do a 10 bells thing, but they gave him a little graphic at the beginning of the show.
Oh, I didn't see that.
Yeah, it was they did it on a SmackDown, and they did it like on a Raw or something. But yeah, no 10 bell tributes. So they usually do 10 bells if it's like somebody that's on the active roster, or if it's like pretty much it, somebody on the active roster. That's the only time I've ever seen a 10 bells. Has there been any other case about that, Nate? I can't think of anything else right now. That's usually how it is,
what?
Though, right, Nate?
For what?
When they do the 10 bells, isn't that usually when it's someone on the active roster that's passed?
Yeah, usually. I know they did Brian Pillman when he died a 10 bell one. Trying to think.
They did it for Owen, too.
They
and
did
Eddie.
It for Owen, yeah. Yeah,
Eddie.
Yeah, I think it's mostly active wrestlers. Yeah, 10 bell salute. Yeah.
Yeah, now the only person they didn't mess with, which I thought was kind of rude, was they didn't mess with Umaga. They didn't do anything for him.
Yeah.
I think it was because of the circumstances of his death. But, yeah, there was no mention or reference of Umaga at all. So.
Well, I was going to say for
anyway,
the 2015 class for the Hall of Fame, NWO booked that. And Sting. He's from California, so your buddy
Sting.
Yeah,
Sting. Yeah, obviously, right there, Sting. Yeah, thank you.
Sting for 2015.
Yeah, Sting's the obvious one, and hopefully, Sting's like my only hope. I feel like I'm Princess Leia. Help me, Obi-Wan. You're my only hope. Sting, help. You're my only hope.
And,
please show up.
Yeah, I was gonna say before I go, treat your mother right. And tomorrow night, if Undertaker closes out Raw, we get Sting tomorrow night. If he closes out Raw. So that's all I'm gonna say.
Yeah, hopefully, a lot of people. Let's use these last few moments to talk about Sting. The most obvious question is, how's he gonna look? You know, Sting has so many face paints. You know, he's got Crow, he's got Beach Sting, he's got Steve Bordenstein, he's got Crazy Psycho Joker Sting. You know, he has so many different. Let's just do a panel discussion. Nate, how do you think Sting look? Do you think they're going to give him something
well,
new?
We were joking earlier today on my show. He comes half and half Crow and then Surfer Sting. But honestly, you know what I'm thinking? I think he's just going to come out basically just a normal guy, face-to-face with
Undertaker.
Oh, like
Steve Borden?
Steve Borden, yeah, from the heart. And then, you know, I think that's what he's going to be. And then we'll, you know, eventually get the face paint and all that. I think he's going to come out as a natural guy, you know? No gimmick, no makeup, no nothing. Just a suit and tie and face to face with the Undertaker and tell him, brother, you can't retire. You got, you know, you got one more match in you, and I want it. You know, this is my legacy. This is your legacy. You know, you're the legend. I'm the icon. You know, let's do this. You know, I think that's what's going to happen.
You know, I got into an argument with somebody about 2 years ago. You know, Jeff Hardy. You know, he puts on face paint a lot of times too. Jeff Hardy has said many times that he looked up to Sting. And a lot of people have attacked Hardy. They say if you take the face paint away from Jeff Hardy, he's just a white boy from North Carolina. And he said the same thing about Sting, saying if you take away Sting's face paint, there's nothing special about him. I disagree completely. I felt that some of Sting's best promo work was in TNA as Steve Borden. I remember when he had that feud with Abyss, many of the promos he had were, like, very religious, and Sting was not wearing face paint at all. The whole Immortal storyline with Hulk Hogan. Sting has had a lot of great promos. I remember when Sting was GM of Impact Wrestling without any face paint. He just came out there every week as himself, and he cut a lot of good almost. Yeah. I don't think Sting or Steve Borden, whatever you want to call him, I don't think he needs to face paint at all to be special. I think charisma is there. I think the face paint is just, you know, that's just like his symbol. You know what I mean? Like Batman in a mask. So, anyway, TOD, you're back now. Do you have any predictions about, well, not predictions, but if Sting came in, do you have, like, any preferences? Do you think it should be a new look, an old look, a mixture of the two?
I think the Crows thing is where he's been kind of sticking around. And, I mean, it's hard to say. I mean, if the Undertaker, I'm sure the Undertaker is going to close out that show. I can't imagine them, or at least start out with the show, one of the two. And, you know, because that's just, again, because of the shockingness of it. And it's a shame because we're talking about this more than Daniel Bryan, too, which is kind of like, kind of sucks. But, you know, for the purpose sake of talking about it, I think if Sting is truly back, if that's going to be the case, tomorrow night's the last straw of it actually happening. So is Taker going to, is he going to decide, okay, I'm going to lose my streak and decide I'll break it right now and have my match with Sting, or are they going somewhere completely different with him if he's even going to be involved? You know, so it's hard to say, but, you know, it'd be a great way for fans to kind of forget about the streak a little bit and kind of move forward to, you know, something they're like a year in the making. And hopefully if that's the case they're going to go, I mean, then great. Then it'd be a great contest to see those two in, and they have the year to kind of get in shape and get ready for it.
Right. I hate to just be so obsessed on Sting, but I was on Nate's show earlier today, and I'm sorry, man. Like, I'm just, at this point in time, I'm convinced Sting has to be there. He has to show up. I mean, everything just, it makes perfect sense. Ever since the Night of Champions last year, where they did the poll on your best champions, Sting won that poll for best World Heavyweight Champion. Ultimate Warrior has the DVD and the commercial. He talks about Sting from the very beginning. At the Hall of Fame, he talked about Sting. Hogan's talked about Sting since he's come back. You can find on the WWE YouTube channel. Ric Flair's talked about Sting. You can see his work more on the network. They're posting more photos of Sting on the WWE page. And then earlier today at WrestleCon, Sting said himself that his favorite number is 31. 31. Why would he say that? Sting, why would he say that? He said his favorite number is 31. He knows what he's saying. I mean, Sting said himself in London that ever since he's left Impact Wrestling, he's been watching Raw, and he said he's been looking at Undertaker matches. Sting said this himself, not Meltzer, not any fan. This is from Sting's mouth himself. So I'm convinced he has to show up. And like you said, TOD, tomorrow is pretty much like the last opportunity. It's a do or die at this point. But I guarantee you, man, if Sting shows up, it's going to be the loudest pop ever. Ever, my prediction. It will be the loudest pop ever. I'm talking like louder than Triple H's return in 2002 pop, louder than Brock Lesnar coming back in 2012 pop. Just, this is going to be like the best pop ever. The roof is gonna fucking blow up if Sting shows up. It's a big if.
Oh, you know what? For the 31, I figured it out. For Sting's favorite number is 31. It's either he loves Baskin Robbins 31 flavors, or he was a big Dave Winfield fan back in the day. I don't know. That's what I'm thinking.
So I'm scared.
Anyway.
Yeah. All right. So that was the WrestleMania 31 show. Thanks for listening, everyone. We only got about like 6 minutes left. We just go ahead and call it early. Okay. 337, do you have any final thoughts?
I'm pretty much just like in awe right now. I'm just like, you know, when you wake up, you're like, you up, but you're not really up. I'm just,
yeah.
I'm just like, yeah, it's kind of like you have the sex, right? You're like, did I really just do that? No, I didn't. Yeah, I did.
Oh, yeah, one more thing to talk about. Before we call it a day, to wrestling fans out there, tomorrow, April 7th, well, actually, it's already April 7th, it's past 12, but April 7th, today is the day where Jeff Jarrett will be making his announcement. He's been hyping it for some time. He's been hyping it on his Twitter He's been hyping it on his Instagram. He's going to be making some type of announcement later on. I will definitely keep you guys posted, and when the announcement is made, I will definitely share it and post it on the PWP page. Many people have been saying it's going to be a promotion. From what I understand, it's going to be a reality show, particularly showing Jarrett creating a promotion, him talking to people, establishing talent relationships, you know, getting the money together. It's going to be a show about him making a new promotion. That's what I've been told. And from what I understand, he's aiming for Spike TV, TBS, or CMT. I think that's like this country music station. I have it. I've passed by it a few times. TBS, they've distanced themselves from wrestling for many years now. So I doubt that they would take Jeff. But if Jarrett was able to get a wrestling show on TBS, that would be a big impact because, you know, wrestling was a really big draw on TBS back in the day. And it's really been absent of wrestling since WCW died back in 2001. And TBS is basic cable. I know people that don't even have, like, the most advanced stuff, and they still get TBS. So if he was able to get on TBS, that would be a huge, huge change in the wrestling spectrum. But more than likely, it's probably going to come down to Spike, which, ironically, WWE and TNA are vying for. So Spike has some tough decisions to make later on this year. We definitely got to see. But regardless of what Jeff Jarrett posts, we will update it on the PWP page. All right, guys. What was that? Oh, okay. All right, everybody. Thanks for calling in. And we'll definitely have a show. Might even do a TOD. We'll be able to do a. I know we don't normally do this, but would you like to have like a post Mania Raw review?
You know, I know Greg DeMarco's got a show on Tuesday. You know, during the Greg DeMarco came back on our network. You know, not too sure. I think my mind might be a little fried. I'm already going to be up late tonight and late tomorrow. We'll see, but probably too soon. I would say that on Tuesday we have a show that's been, you know, very strong. And I say we could save that discussion for that show. I think, you know, if you're more than welcome to do it, man. You have all control, just like I do. No one's playing favorites here. It's just a very shocking night, a great night for wrestling. A great night for wrestling fans. Wrestling. It feels like I've rejuvenated into wrestling again. Just that good. Just a very good show.
Yeah, it was one positive thing I will say. WrestleMania was so exciting. I totally forgot about the Game of Thrones Season 4 opener, but that's what DVR is for. God bless technology. And on that note, thanks for calling in, guys. And, Nate, if you wanted to, like, do some type of future show, like, you know, collaboration down the road, just send me a PM and we'll work it out, man.
Yeah, cool. Oh, shit, it's Vince Russo. Good night, guys.
All right, good night, everybody.
I'm an ass man. Yeah, I'm an ass man.